the action, the sound, the pride. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE as John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the sound of the hounds. WHJE, your trusted source of Carmel football.
You're back, folks, and this is the trusted source of Carmel football. WHJE, I'm speaking about. I'm joining my buddy here, Jesse Smith. Jesse's a very, very fantastic play-by-play announcer and been my colleague for about 2 years now. We were calling the JV games last year. You just, if you're tuned in listening to the halftime report, you just heard Kyle Hunter, a very, very fantastic talent who's come through the WHJE ranks, and he's doing some great things at Ball State. And so another great thank you to him for coming out. But, hey, folks, we got about 2 minutes left before we're going to see the Greyhounds and the Shamrocks kick it again. Jesse, what are some keys to victory for the Shamrocks in the second half?
For the Shamrocks, I think you just keep doing what you're doing, the nice balance between the rush and the pass. Obviously, when you look at the yardage situation, it's not quite as balanced as we have seen so far in the game, but Donald Brooks has been an absolute weapon to use in any situation, receiving and rushing. And the rushing game has been on key in the point at which they've needed to in situations, short yard situations, second and one. They picked up the first down, not even had to deal with the third down situations, which takes the pressure off the quarterback.
I think also the Rocks, they have to give Bonifon the ball more. And I think they really need to allow him to air it out, because we saw that in last game, last week, and he really looked comfortable. And it's almost been the exact opposite. We've seen Lampe come out and look extremely comfortable. He's had some incredible passes, done a great job of really just threading that needle and connecting deep. But Bonifon hasn't, and guaranteed I say that very lightly because he has done a great job, don't get me wrong, but it's not the Bonifon that we're used to seeing.
Absolutely. And I remember a conversation that you and I had earlier this week about how if Carmel comes out into this game and the offense is able to move the chains on the first drive and able to have a big play, that's going to really set the tone for this game, and that has so far. They weren't able to score on that drive, but nonetheless, Lampe coming out with that 48-yard pass over the middle was able to really set the tone for the rest of this game, and the passing has been there. Then again, you still look at the scoreboard, and that's really all that matters at the end of the day. Trinity has the lead.
And I think we've also got to look at kind of these stars for Trinity, and they're going to have to play like stars. You know, we've seen guys like C.J. Ott and then, you know, even Rajay Burns, number 10, come out, and they're both really, really hot. But we're going to need to see guys like Cody Swabek, who's that slot receiver, he's that star receiver, come out with tenacity and be able to fight. And then on the defensive side, we've seen some incredible plays from guys like Damon Lowe, number 52, as well as Adam King, number 47, who on that line have really done a good job to make Carmel's life hard.
And Carmel will get the ball to start the second half here after Trinity received the first half kickoff. So a chance to cut into this lead even more or possibly tie it up. And this is a big drive for the Carmel Greyhounds, set the tone for the rest of this game. We'll see who they try to come out here with the quarterback situation. Trinity has had a little bit of time to digest what just happened off the last drive. Had a little bit of time to change the defensive scheme, possibly, to line up with John Lampe as the quarterback. We'll see what they decide to go with. Possibly more of a balance here, not like what we saw in the second quarter.
Perkins. So, second half action coming to us now. Go ahead, take us away, Jesse.
Perkins and Roberts are back deep to return, and it looks like Andrew Day will be kicking off. Has two touchbacks already on the day. Been very impressive. Let's see if he's going to go for the perfect 3-for-3 right now. This one is up and looks like it's going to be just short of the end zone as Perkins will take it after two. The first return for the Greyhounds. Up the middle across the 20-yard line will be brought down at around the 24-yard line. So pretty decent field position to start the drive.
Yeah, pretty modest return there. Good job by Chris Perkins to come out strong for the Greyhounds. That just gives, whether it's Lampe or James, that gives them some momentum and some things to work with.
So both of them in the huddle as we speak, but it looks like it's going to be Lampe trotting out there right now for the Carmel Greyhounds as the field general as we are ready to start the second half of football here from Carmel Stadium. Carmel trailing 7-14 as they come out the four wide set. He has three to his right from the 24-yard line. He's got Shakir Paschal, actually, in the backfield. We haven't seen too much of him so far, only in the goal line situations. But nonetheless, Lampe directing that offense will go back into his pistol formation. He's going to take the snap, fakes the handoff, looking over the middle to the tight end, Scott, who drops another one at the 35-yard line. We saw another play like that off a 10-yard pass, and that's two for him tonight.
And that's tough for Scott because he comes out the senior, you know, trying to redeem himself on this play. Obviously, he knows the ball's potentially going to him. And you can just hear the disappointment in the fans. And I mean, Scott's got to be kicking himself, but he can't. He's got to get back up, get his head in the game, and play some football.
So same formation. Lampe looks over towards the sideline, and Scott's been having a pretty good game in the blocking so far tonight, picking up a couple blitzes to save Lampe towards the end of that first half, as Lampe's going to give this one off to Paschal up the middle, tries to power his way through, but only picks up a couple of yards and set up a third and eight.
And see, I don't want to keep dwelling on the negative here, but see, the problem with a drop pass is not limit you on what you can do next. And so they bring a guy like Paschal into the game, it's kind of obvious as to what's going to happen. And so that doesn't give you a lot of options on the play calling end of things.
So it will be a third and seven from their own 27-yard line. Same formation, four wide set, three to his right. He's under pressure, getting chased, and he's going to be brought down for a sack right there. And a defense for Trinity coming out firing. That's Connor Foos again. That's the second time we've called his name for a sack tonight.
And as well, number 86, Mitch Litter coming in for a little quick finish there as well. Connor Foos, this is about his second or third sack on the night. Picked up quite a few tackles too. So again, Trinity defensively has really stepped up this game and is really making a tough time here for the Greyhounds. And now we're seeing the punt team come out here. So Adam Kramer is going to try to pin Trinity deep.
Will be Swabak back deep to return. Kramer fields this one cleanly. It's a great punt over towards the left side of the field. That one bounces off of Swabak, and Carmel is going to be able to return this one. It looks like Landon Sinis is going to jump on top of that one, and they will have it at the Trinity 26-yard line.
And something interesting to note here is Cody Swabak looked a lot like he didn't think he touched it. You know, he didn't run after it. He didn't freak out. But nevertheless, it looks like it's going to be the Greyhounds' ball. The referee gives the official call here. And so John Lamp is going to trot onto the field out and have a nice shot at tying this ball game.
So the field position much in Carmel's favor, obviously, in this situation at the Trinity 26-yard line with 10:23 remaining in the third quarter. Still 14-7 in favor of the visiting Shamrocks. They're going to come out four wide. This time they're going to put Baldridge in the slot rather than Scott. But Lampe still has three to his right side with Paschal in the backfield. Looks to pass over the middle. Looks to Baldridge. Makes the catch. Big hit inside the five-yard line. First down.
And the player of the game so far has been none other than Jason Baldridge. Baldridge has come out hot. He's not a guy that normally plays a lot. He's not normally that go-to guy. But, man, he sure has done a good job. He's got a great pair of hands on him. He can catch almost anything. And Lampe has been smart to look to him.
So first and goal from the four-yard line, right in the middle of the field. Same formation for the Carmel Greyhounds. They're going to give this one to Paschal up the middle. Absolutely nowhere to go. And he's going to be stopped. Forward progress will get him back to the line of scrimmage. So second and goal coming up.
And that's going to be Connor Foos and company for the Trinity Shamrocks. And the Shamrocks have done a good job. Lampe and company is able to drive down to within the 10-yard line and really creep on that door of Trinity. But they've done a good job of shutting that down.
We're going to bring in the speed back Perkins. 9:40 remaining here in the third quarter. Second and goal. They're going to go with more of a true shotgun formation this time as Perkins lines up alongside him. They're going to go with the option. Perkins off the right side trying to get into the end zone. Going to be close. And he gets in there. It will be 13-14 off the rushing touchdown from Chris Perkins.
And a great block there by Jason Baldridge. Playing in the slot, made that happen really for Perkins. He was able to get around the end, and folks, it's a tie ball game. Well, excuse me, I shouldn't speak too quickly. 14-13 here. The Hounds are going to have the opportunity now to tie it up. But I'll sure tell you that PAT is definitely not guaranteed.
Absolutely not. It will be Kramer on the kick and the receiver Thomas Baldwin on the hold to try to tie this one up. Big change of events right here as Kramer puts this one up. That one is up and good, and it will be 14-14 as this one is all knotted up.
You mentioned the name Baldwin, Thomas Baldwin. You haven't seen a lot of him today. He's been pretty silent, but then you talk about guys like Jason Baldridge who sure step up. Man, I just think what a great drive for the Greyhounds there to come out and really just have some momentum go their way, but also the play calls were fantastic. You know, you got to give some credit to the coaches because they really get undershadowed sometimes by the players. And so a good job there by the coaching staff to really lead Lampy and company almost to that promised land.
Absolutely, and Lampy right now 155 passing yards on the game, and the Carmel Greyhounds will take the total yardage lead after that little drive right there that started after the muff punt there by Cody Swabek, usually a very sure-handed returner, but just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and Landon Sinis coming up with that fumble recovery on the special teams as Adam Kramer will be lined up to kick this one away.
So here go the Greyhounds now, 9:27 in the third quarter here, and Adam Kramer is going to take us away.
Will be Brooks and Burns back deep to return for the Shamrocks, and this one is away. A very good kickoff. That one's going to be back deep into the end zone. No return on this one, and the Shamrocks will take over at the 20-yard line.
And so what a great drive there for the Greyhounds to come out, really open it up a little bit. You know, great testament to the run game from Chris Perkins there, but also a good job by Lampy to air the ball out a little bit. And I think we're starting to see him settle into that role that he just had a tough time with last week. And again, like you said, Jesse, it was one game, you know. I mean, he's got the entire season to really get something going and really almost define himself as a quarterback.
So Bonifon will take over here at the 20-yard line. He's going to try to come out in a shotgun formation. First time we have seen him this half. After 2.5 minutes of gameplay, split back shotgun formation, has all day to throw, but all of a sudden here comes the pressure. He's going to be brought down in the backfield by Stetson and company, but we do have penalty flags. Let's see who this one's going against.
And we're awaiting the signal here. It's going to be actually on Trinity. And so the Greyhounds are going to get a nice little break there, too. But a good job, again, defensively by Stetson there on that end. And that's why they have him there. He's so versatile. And they're throwing another flag here. Okay, and now they're going to call. Looks like an offset here.
They're actually going to call that one holding, but Carmel electing to keep the sack right there. They don't have to sacrifice the down. So rather, they're going to give them the yardage, but one less down for Bonifon to work with. So we'll be 2nd and 12 rather than the halfway distance to the goal situation for the first and about 17. So Bonifon will come out in the 2nd and 12 from his own 18-yard line. Puts a man in motion. That's Swabek over towards his left side. 3 wide, 2 to his right. Brooks in the backfield, looks to pass. Here comes the pressure from Rowe, gets it to Swabek off the screen. He heads up towards the left side of the field at the 30-yard line, still on his feet, brought down at about the 37-yard line, first down and a lot more.
So a good little screen play there off the bubble, and a nice job for Trinity to get something going, trying to get that momentum working. And maybe we'll see Bonifon air it out a little bit here, get something going. Just an all-around good play there by Trinity. And they're definitely not giving up on this game.
So still 14-14, 8:42 remaining here in the third quarter. He has trips to his left and a receiver out to his right. Brooks in the backfield. Pistol formation. They're going to try to bring Story in off the blitz. And Brooks off the left tackle, barreling over the defensive back there, Akins. But he's still able to make the tackle. Close to the first down mark. It looks to be about a gain of 8.
And so now the defense is going to have to start kicking it in a little bit here. Once you start nearing the 50-yard line, the ball typically begins to get aired out a little bit. You start to see some big breakaway plays here, so we'll see if Bonifon can do it. The crowd's getting loud here on second down.
Same formation for Bonifon from his own 45, 2nd and 2, just under 8 to go in the third. They're going to give it to Brooks up the middle, and he's going to have just enough to get across. Still not across midfield, but that will move the chains for Trinity.
And so now that gives Trinity a reset. They're able to kind of recollect their thoughts here, and Bonifon's going to really be able to kind of take control now on this drive.
I won't be surprised, like, as you mentioned, if they start trying to air it out here within the next couple of plays. That arm strength has been showcased quite well so far tonight. 139 passing yards for Bonifon so far tonight. He's going to go under center. He has three wide receivers, but he's going to put a man in motion to make it a split backs formation. Two receivers, they split the difference. Bonifon takes the snap. He's going to give it off to Brooks up the middle, but he's going to be met by the linebacking core there with Ryan Sondels and company.
And so Brooks hasn't been too effective going up the middle on first down. Now, granted, he did have that first down conversion, but nothing that's really been impressive thus far.
So it will be about a second and eight, second and nine situation. Still, we haven't seen Bonifon trying to air it out in quite some time here on this drive. Just under seven to go in the third from his own 49-yard line. Off the left hash, Bonifon's going to come out in the pistol formation, has three wide. He's going to put a man in motion, make it a split backs formation once again. Two receivers now. Brooks in the backfield, fakes the handoff, rolls out to his left. The blitz is coming. He's under pressure, and he's going to be brought down for a sack there by the Carmel defense near the 41-yard line.
So number 38 there, Nick Sinar kind of leading the charge. He didn't get the tackle, but put that initial pressure on Bonifon. And Bonifon has gone down quite a few times this game, much more than he would like to. And now we're starting to see that Carmel crowd get into it. We've got a third and long, and by long, I mean about 15 yards. And so Reggie Bonifon, the much talked about, much awaited to be seen quarterback here, the predecessor, is going to come out. And he is all alone in the backfield now.
Five wide, three to his right from his own 41. Third and 17, pressure coming. Fires over the middle, finds his receiver. That's Ott, and he's going to be brought down, and he has the first down at the Carmel 40-yard line.
C.J. Ott, again, we talked about it before. One of those guys that he comes up with big plays, and what a big play guy. And we, Greyhound's slow to get up. Everything's okay here. Bonifon looked a little shaken up on that one. He got up quickly, though. But now he's starting to get that that jump in their step here. And so a very, very good conversion there by Bonifon. It's, you can't rule him out. He lives for that third down.
Absolutely. Third and 17 seems to be the easiest conversion for both of these teams so far tonight. It seems to be the third and shorts that are giving them trouble. But with 5:25 remaining here in the third, Bonifon's going to have trips to his left. And he's going to fake the handoff, rolling out to his left, looking deep over towards the left side for Ott. And he's going to drop that one at the 25-yard line. Heard the footsteps right there, potentially, and that's going to be a second and 10.
Again, a rare drop there by C.J. Ott. Again, like you said, Jesse, we're not used to seeing that. And caused there by Noah Burks, number four. He's a sophomore. Nice footsteps there. Really didn't even have to do anything, but he caused Ott to drop it there. And that's a costly drop. So second down and 10 here. Bonifon's got a second shot.
Again, has trips to his left, but now he's going to put Brooks out over towards the right side from the Carmel 39-yard line. Second and 10. Looks to pass. Looks for Ott again, this time going right back to his receiver. And that's going to be enough for the first down after the gain of 11.
And so Ott there gets his revenge on Burks. Very, very good reception there. Able to move the chains forward now. And so we're starting to see Bonifon start to creep up into some serious Greyhound territory. The ball is about on the 29-yard line.
Exactly 5 minutes to go here in the third. Still 14-14. This game is tied. Four wide set. Now he's going to put Brooks in motion. Trying to go for the option. He's going to keep it up the middle. Breaks through the linebacking core. The referee's going to take a tumble right there. And he's going to be brought down around the 17-yard line.
And that's what happens when you're a referee and you don't wrap up. You're going to get taken down every time there. So good little lesson there to all you kiddos playing ball. Wrap up and tackle. But what a great play there by Reggie Bonifon. Right up the middle. A great play fake there to bring Donald Brooks almost in that double motion there. And then, man, Bonifon was able to take up
I formation coming up here for Trinity. He's going to hand this one off to Brooks off the left tackle. Has room to move at the 10-yard line. They're going to bring him down across at about the 2. So a good run there on first down by him. He's going to have the first and goal situation inside the Carmel 5.
And a very, very good play there. Fantastic way for Trinity to move that ball up. And they've done a good job this drive of really getting that ground game working. I think that's the difference, see, is when you can build some solid momentum. You can start airing it out a little bit, but you're also relying on that running game. It becomes a very, very unpredictable for that Carmel defense. A very, very good Carmel defense, but still very unpredictable.
So we're going to have a little bit of it looks like a timeout here. Waiting on the official word. Going to have some substitutions. Luke Parker coming in for the Carmel defense, one of their defensive backs. Stay tuned after station imaging here on 91.3 WHG.
They are just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
Welcome back as Bonifon's going to hand this one off to the tailback. That's Brooks as he tries to go into the end zone, but a huge hit off the sideline by Luke Parker is going to keep him out of the end zone at the 1 yard line. He looked destined for the promised land right there for 6 points, and Luke Parker knocks him straight backwards.
And Luke Parker coming in the game literally the play before, as now we see some more substitutions. We're seeing guys like Sean Stetson come in, Alex Akins. And Bonifon quick to get back to that line there. He is creeping in. It looks like on the 1 yard line. Here we go, folks. This could be the lead. And he's going to forward there. And we're going to wait the call. He just dove in, quarterback sneak. And they're going to call it a touchdown. Reggie Bonifon, 1 yard rushing touchdown there.
So it will be 20-14 right now is the score with Trinity. And we just saw Reggie Bonifon right there kind of take command of this offense. And great play calling all the way through it there. Nice balance between the rush and the pass. That brings their total up to 75 rushing yards for the day for Trinity. So well done on that drive. Took a lot of time off the clock right there. Only 3:45 remaining in the third.
So here is the PAT, and it is good. So the lead is now 21-14 in favor of the Shamrocks. Back and forth scoring the entire game. It's been a great game, folks. A good way to start out the season here. Some almost border state rivalry here. We're, of course, if you're just joining us now, the Carmel Greyhounds have been hosting for the past 2 hours the Louisville Trinity Shamrocks, a school that was started in the 1950s. A very, very prestigious school in Louisville. I went to Christian Academy of Louisville myself, and Trinity was quite the rival. Always better. They've got great programs all around the board. Their baseball team is incredible. Basketball is pretty good, and their football team, well, you have to be special to be number 2 in the nation. And they, of course, with that loss to Nashville, are now number 7. I mean, you don't lose much bragging rights with that one.
They will be kicking off right now. Thank you for the little history lesson there, John.
Thank you, yeah.
They will be kicking off to the Carmel Greyhounds to try to possibly cut back into this lead or tie it up once again. And it will be Andrew Day will be kicking this one off to Austin Roberts and Chris Perkins, who have been back deep to return all season for the Carmel Greyhounds. John Lampy will have about 3.5 minutes to work with by the time his offense trots onto the field, or Isaac James if they decide to go with him at quarterback. Shorter kickoff this time as it bounces up towards Roberts at the 10-yard line. He heads up the middle of the field. He's going to be brought down at the 22-yard line. So both the returns for modest gain, getting him the field position that they really, you know, decent field position to start the drive with.
And Roberts limping off here, something that is not good for anybody. He's been kind of quiet today. He's had a few receptions here and there, but nothing that we're used to seeing from Roberts. He's one of those players who's going to have to just get going a little bit here, and that comes with developing that passing offense, which has been lacking. So thus far, Lampy's trotting back on the field here to take the drive, and he has done a great job with the passing game today.
Lampe, as well as Isaac James, is also on the field. He's going to line up at wide receiver, providing another weapon for him out there. He has trips over towards his right. Pascal, they're going to go screen over towards James, who takes a tumble at the 20. He's going to be brought down at about the 23-yard line, able to gain a couple yards.
And that's the second or third time we've seen players slipping here on this turf. Again, it is that new era style turf, so goodbye to the Astro. But a very nice field and facilities here. Lampy's going to reset in the pistol formation. Trips to his left.
So they swapped the receivers this time from his own 22. It's going to be a second and 10. They rolled him down from the initial spot that he actually slipped at. Lampe going back into the pistol. Pascal still in the backfield for the Hounds right now. Fakes the handoff, looking to pass, rolling out towards his right. Has to run with it now, heads towards the sideline. He's going to possibly get back to the line of scrimmage or lose a yard in this situation, setting up a third and 10.
And it's interesting play there, you say. He ran with it. It almost seemed like the play might have been drawn up that way. He never really stopped to set to look for a receiver. It was almost like he was determined right from the beginning that he was running. And that is another thing that Lampe is pretty good at, is looking off the defensive backs. But tonight, we just haven't seen a really good example of that.
Four wide, three to his left. Lampe drops back on third and 10. Has some time to throw. A little pressure now. He's going to give it off to Perkins. Absorbs one hit from low, but he's going to be brought down right at the 22-yard line. And that'll be a fourth and 10 and a three and out for the Carmel Greyhound offense.
So another great testament to Damon Lowe's play. He's done a fantastic job there. Just really providing some solid relief. Although he didn't get the tackle, he, of course, has an assist there and really made that happen. So we're going to see number 24, Drew Chandler for Trinity now. He's going to receive this punt from the Greyhounds here. So 21-14 in favor of the Rocks, 2:15 in the third.
Will be Kramer. That one, he bobbles it a little bit, has to get it off, but still a pretty decent punt considering the situation. A fair catch is called. They field that one cleanly at about the 47-yard line. And give credit to Adam Kramer there after what happened last week, the ball sailing over his head. Able to pick that one up, almost kind of a ground ball situation, and get that one off immediately with the pressure breathing down his neck.
Kramer's had a tough run, especially early on in the season. You know, he's had a lot of scrutiny as a kicker. A lot of younger guys really coming in and impressing the team. You know, we even talk about the transfer from Westfield, Jesus Estevez, who came in, you know, and Kramer's done a great job to handle that pressure.
So Bonifon's going to come out with four wide, three to his left, looks over for the screen. That one's going to be picked off, and it looks like that one is Conway. It's a foot race, and he's going to be brought down by Bonifon at the 5-yard line, and Jack Conway comes up big again in the biggest situation.
What a play by Jack Conway. Looked like the ball was going to be blocked from the line of scrimmage, but he's able to reel it in. And, man, he was off to the races, and none other than Reggie Bonifon tracks him down. But that's just another testament to the way Jack Conway has stepped up. Had a great game last week against Arsenal Tech, and comes out big tonight against Trinity.
Jack Conway, the 5'7 senior defensive back, two consecutive weeks now, has made a name for himself on this Carmel defense. And Isaac James, it appears, is going to be trotting out there. So different positions on consecutive drives for Isaac James. Lined up as a receiver last time, will come out as the quarterback.
And Pascal in the backfield here. Here's the snap.
And they run into each other, but James is going to keep it this time. He's going to stumble and just miss the end zone right there. And he's going to be brought down at about the 4-yard line. So it will be a second and goal, losing his footing on the consecutive drive again.
And again, that's about the third time he's done it this game. Very frustrating. And he is so quick off the line. Sometimes he just stumbles over himself. Can't get his balance.
He's going to come out four wide, three to his left. Pascal still in the backfield, as you mentioned last play. Will be a second and goal. Tries to hand it off, but he keeps it. He's going up the middle, takes a huge hit, still on his feet, diving into the end zone, and Isaac James is going to get the touchdown.
What a drive there by the Greyhounds. And they're within one now, folks, 21-20. Trinity's got the lead, a minute 16 remaining in this third quarter before we hit the final one. And I'll tell you what, a game back and forth style of play. Good job by Isaac James there.
this whole drive has done a fantastic job, and so has Lampe. Just a great testament to that unselfishness of the Greyhounds this game.
Here comes the point after, and you can ask anyone. These points mean almost everything in these situations. For the tie, Adam Kramer with the kick. Thomas Baldwin with the hold. Hold is good. Kick is up, and the kick is also good, and it will be 21-21, all knotted up.
And so, folks, this is the game that we came out to see here. 21-21, all tied up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is football here. Whether you're from Kentucky, whether you're from Carmel, Indiana, we're here for a good one today. We're going to send it back real quick for a little bit of a preview.
For 50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing the Carmel Greyhounds come out pretty pumped up after that incredible scoring drive, 21-21, 1 minute 16 seconds remaining in the third quarter. I'm John Perkins, alongside my counterpart, Jesse Smith. And folks, we're all set up here for another kickoff here. Adam Kramer's going to take us home. He's done a fantastic job tonight on the end of things when it comes to kicking.
Just don't even, you know, in this situation, I don't think you want to give somebody with a dynamic like Brooks the even the opportunity to put yourself in a situation where he could be possibly taking one back here. So I think the touchback is the way to go if you can. Both sidelines, everyone on their feet as this one is up and away. It looks like it's going to fall short as Brooks will take this one at the 2-yard line. Tries to juke a couple of players around. Still on his feet at the 25-yard line, closer to the 30. And that's an excellent return right there to get your team back into that one.
And a big scuffle there from Noah Burks. Getting physical there with number 6, Calvin Fonte. And that's what we like to see now, starting to see these tensions flare a little bit. I love it up here in the booth. It means that some good football is being played. So we're all tied up, folks. We got a minute remaining in this third quarter. And none other than Reggie Bonifon will come out now, the quarterback for the Trinity Shamrocks. And he's going to try to lead his team to victory.
So they will come out with a 4-wide set, 3 to his right with Brooks in the backfield. A true shotgun as they get it to swab back off the screen at the 30-yard line. Heads up the right sideline, and he's going to be shoved out of bounds there by Mitch Davis. They wanted a late hit penalty right there, but no penalty flag is thrown. Depending on the spot, it's going to be close to the first down. Will be about a 2nd and 1.
And a good little extra effort there by Mitch Davis to let Trinity know who is the boss right now. Who just scored, but hey, none other. It still results with a 2nd and short here for Bonifon. He's in the backfield now with Brooks after motion.
Same formation, exactly a minute remaining here in the third quarter. He has time to throw, steps up, looks over towards the sideline. He finds his man. It looks like that is Ott once again, close to midfield. He's going to have the first down easily.
And Bonifon, just with another great throw there, threading the needle, hitting his receiver to the right side with an immense amount of pressure coming from that incredible Carmel defensive line there. Looked like Stetson had a little bit of pressure on him now, as we're going to see Akins trot to the sideline. And so we're nearing that midfield mark here. What about the 49-yard line for the Rocks?
He's going to have trips to his left and a receiver out to his right. They put him in motion. That is Brooks. He keeps this one up the middle. Bonifon into the secondary, diving across the 40-yard line of Carmel into their territory for the first down, gain of 12.
Bonifon with a great run up the middle there, and some Greyhounds a little slow to get up. Looks like everybody's okay now. So the ball's going to be set on the 39-yard line. It is in Greyhound territory. 26 seconds. The clock is running now. Left in the third here, 21-21. Bonifon's trying to hurry it up a little bit. Let's see if he can get a playoff.
He's got 3 receivers out to his right and 1 to his left. That is Burns with Brooks in the backfield. He's going to hand it off the right tackle, and he's going to be brought down for about a gain of 4. That's really the first time we've seen a good stand from the Carmel front 7 on a first down rushing play in quite some time.
And so a very, very good little run there. It's going to be second and about five when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, the score is tied 21-21. You're listening to The Edge.